Okay. Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 100? That's where we're going to start, and that's where we're going to end. And my goal is to be done in plenty of time for Doc. That's my goal. Because then we got to run. We'll be over at the Mark Street campus preaching the morning service. I'm pretty sure that's where Pastor is this morning. But I'm going to do something a little bit different for me this morning. The title of the Sunday school lesson is Preparing for Pie and Praise. Preparing for Pie and Praise. So it's really just all set up for Tuesday when we're all here worshiping the Lord together, giving thanks unto Him, praising Him with the fruit of our lips. That's really the goal. But let's read Psalm 100, and then I'm going to ask Brother Blondo to open us up in prayer. And we can all read it together. Some of you I know have committed this to memory already, so let's read it all together. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Joe, if you'd ask the Lord to bless this time we spend together, and pray for Pastor, and there's people traveling too. Thank you. Amen. This is a wonderful time of the year, and I'm going to read a couple lengthy passages, so stay with me here. I'm trusting it'll be a blessing. But I'm going to read something that was written in 1789. And as I read this proclamation, and as I read the next proclamation, I want you to be thinking about what this president said, and then compare it with what's going on in our nation today, not just politically, but in our society. Just listen closely to the words and think about how far we have, and I'm not going to say how far we've come, how far we have strayed. Listen, this is President George Washington. By the President of the United States, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States, did you hear that? Both houses of Congress recommended to the President that he do this. A day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That is the purpose of government. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our service and humble thanks for his care, his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer on us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereign nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. That was our first president of the United States. I think there are 5 specific references to God in that, and several more allusions to. Isn't that amazing? Because what I was looking for was the proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. I have it somewhere in a file, in a drawer, under the bed, in a box. I don't know. I couldn't find it, so I went to the internet and Googled it. And I found that by George Washington. I'd never read it before. I'd never seen it before. That's where we started. Let me read to you Abraham Lincoln's proclamation. Let me read a little intro. During his administration, President Lincoln issued many orders similar to this one. For example, on November 28, 1861, he ordered government departments closed for a local day of Thanksgiving. Sarah Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, wrote a letter to Lincoln on September 28, 1863, urging him to have a day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed union festival. She explained, "You may observe that for some years past there has been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution." Prior to this, each state scheduled its own Thanksgiving holiday at different times, mainly in New England and in other northern states. President Lincoln responded to Mrs. Hale's request immediately, unlike several of his predecessors, who ignored her petitions altogether. In her letter to Lincoln, she mentioned that she had been advocating a national Thanksgiving date for 15 years as the editor of Gotti's Lady Book. George Washington was the first president to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving, issuing his request on October 3rd, 1789, exactly 74 years before Lincoln's. Let me read it. I think you've probably read this before, but it bears reading again. And again, think about our present day political climate. What's going on in Washington, or what's not going on in Washington, and how far we have strayed. By the President of the United States, a proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While the theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal, of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, when's the last time you ever heard a president mention sins, whether public, national, or private? While dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent, should have practiced that one, beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. In case there's any doubt, our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Again, he closes, done at the city of Washington this third day of October in the year of our Lord 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th, by President Abraham Lincoln. Again, five specific references to God. Several more times he alludes to him. And I'm just floored when I read that. I know it was lengthy and it took a couple minutes to read, but I think it bears importance to read it again. That was the president. Those were two presidents of this United States. That's where we started. You know, you think about it, this Sarah Hale was a very persistent woman. She wrote to presidents and governors for over 40 years, and her passion for a national Thanksgiving was soon to become a reality. And a rather unlikely candidate in Abraham Lincoln. Imagine what's going on at the time. There was not a heart of gratitude. There was not a thankful spirit in the United States. The war had been raging for several years now. Many, many American lives were lost. And in spite of all this, President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a national day of Thanksgiving. And you remember, he actually encouraged countrymen, his fellow countrymen, to repent of their sins and of their perverseness and to thank God for his goodness. And since that time, every president has proclaimed Thanksgiving a national observance in November. It was considered the role of the president to declare this day in November a day of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving has occurred ever since every year in the month of November, except one. That was in 1865 when President Andrew Johnson forgot to make the proclamation. He forgot. And the truth is, we resemble Andrew Johnson a whole lot more than we would like to admit, and even our country resembles him even more than we would like to admit also, because we forget what Thanksgiving is really all about. The world has forgotten. How many of you noticed this year at Walmart that the marketing strategies, the sales, the signs went from Halloween to Christmas and brushed right over Thanksgiving? Did anybody notice that? Yeah, some of you did. What happened? I guess if we follow the money, Thanksgiving is not a money-generating holiday. I don't know, but it sure does open the door for that money-generating season, the Christmas shopping season. Thanksgiving has just become another big shopping event to usher in. I mean, it used to be Black Friday was the big deal. And I've had fun on Black Friday, but it used to be, you know, that it would start at midnight on Thanksgiving. That's when Black Friday started. Then it was, they moved it back to 9. And then it was 8. And now, where are we going shopping on Thanksgiving? Because that's when the sales start. All of us, our whole world has forgotten about Thanksgiving. You know, according to the Bible, and if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, according to the Bible, unthankfulness is one of the chief characteristics of an unbelieving world. Unthankfulness. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have a little title across there, it says, "The Coming Apostasy." That's what it says in my Bible. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." You know, we would expect the marks of a wicked and perverse generation to be murders, drunkenness, and I won't even go on and be too specific because I don't know who's listening. But notice that right smack dab in the middle of that in description of all those behaviors is an attitude. Unthankful. unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. There's another passage that speaks about unthankfulness. Anybody think of what it is? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Turn there. Notice as I read in Romans chapter 1 the digression of society from bad to worse, and ask yourself, where did it all begin? Where did it all begin? Romans chapter 1, we'll start. Can't go wrong reading the Bible. We'll back up a few verses and start in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. The heavens declare the glory of God. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So all we have to do is look at creation, and creation declares God's eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Here it is. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forevermore. Where did it start? Where did it start? When God revealed himself unto them, they glorified him not, in verse number 21, neither were they thankful. So what's the reason for mankind becoming so bad, so evil, so perverse? It's because we refuse to give God what? Thanks. We refuse to give God thanks. Perhaps this is to be one of the distinctives of the Christian life. No matter what, we're going to give thanks. No matter what. Perhaps this is the reason that there is a command for believers to be thankful. There is a command. For the sake of time, I'll read it. Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body. Here it is. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse number 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. If I use common teenage vernacular, stop freaking out. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, general prayers, specific prayers, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 50, verse number 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay the vows unto the Most High. Listen, I memorized this verse, and I used it myself, and I claimed it as mine. The only problem was I memorized verse number 15 but didn't include verse number 14. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, I need your help. I will give you all the glory. But notice a little word, and. I left that out. What is it first? Offer unto God thanksgiving. That's first. Be ye thankful, giving thanks unto God. Be thankful. Say thank you. Express gratitude. This is actually a New Testament command for the believers. Listen, our minds need to be transformed because the world is trying to pour us into a mold of unthankfulness, of ingratitude. Our minds need to be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the last time I was here, that was what I brought about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Instead of being conformed into the mold of the world, we need to be transformed into the image of Christ. That is the goal. In Romans 8, 29, Paul writes and says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." So before the foundations of the world, the goal was that we would become like Jesus upon salvation. That every day, in every way, we would become more and more and more like Him until one day our bodies would be redeemed and we would be fully saved. Now, that's a term I would never use outside of here, but that's the idea. The Bible calls it glorification. But when our bodies are saved, then we're free from the guilt of sin now. One day we are free from the penalty of sin, and one day we'll be free from the presence of sin. Amen. It's no wonder that the Lord modeled thankfulness for us. It is no wonder that He modeled thankfulness for us because we are to become like Him. At the time of His greatest crises, in the hours leading up to His crucifixion, to His agony of being separated from God the Father. It's the only time He addresses God as God instead of Father. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Well, He was paying for the sins of the whole world, and that sin separated His fellowship with His Heavenly Father. In the hours leading up to that, He knew where He was going. He knew why He was going, and He knew what it would entail. And when we read these accounts of the crucifixion, our finite minds cannot comprehend the infinite agony that He went through for us. We read it, and it's like, oh yeah, He died on the cross. He was buried 3 days. He rose again! Yes, yes, and He's alive forevermore, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And that's how we read it, because we cannot comprehend His agony. And in the upper room at the Last Supper, He takes the bread and the wine, which symbolizes His bread, His body, and His blood. And He gives thanks. We look back and give thanks. He looked a couple of hours ahead and gave thanks. So I guess, you know, if we were to be brutally honest with each other, being thankful has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has nothing to do with our circumstances. It's a choice. It's a choice of our will to obey the commands of Scripture and be thankful. You know, Jesus gave us several examples. Remember at the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. How about when they rolled away the stone when He rose Lazarus? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me." Listen, even the heavenly hosts engage in thanksgiving. Turn to Revelations. Let's just take a walk through Revelations real quick. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, then we're going to chapter 7. Revelation 4. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were the four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion. Skip down to verse number 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him. Let's look over at chapter 7. Chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Last one, chapter 11, starting verse number 16. We're commanded. Christ set an example. The heavenly hosts engage in thanksgiving. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Hey, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And I just quoted Psalm 92:1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. These praises with our lips, this thanksgiving is to be offered unto God. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Listen, if you've got kids, you need to be careful what they're reading. I know, because I read one of the books that my remember which child it was, brought it home from our public library. It was all about the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. And it said that the pilgrims invited the Indians to their Thanksgiving to thank them for their help and saving them. Is that, I'm sure that was part of it, being thankful to the Indians, but they were thanking God, not the Indians. Listen, there was a guy named Squanto, which I never heard of when I was growing up. But when the pilgrims arrived at Cape Cod, the fields were already cultivated. The land was already cleared because there had been a plague that came through and wiped out the Indians. That was not where they wanted to be, but that's where they ended up because they were off course. When you study it and when you read about it, you find out that they were off course on purpose because someone didn't want them in Virginia. Someone else wanted to settle in Virginia. They bribed the crew, according to one story that I read. So by the providential mighty hand of God, the fields were prepared. The Indians were gone. And then this guy Squanto shows up, who had been taken as a slave back to England, learned the language and the culture, and had come back, and he could speak to them. And he took care of them. He did. But you know what? Besides sharing their turkey and their squash and their mashed potatoes and gravy, you know what else they shared with Squanto? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And Squanto got saved. And it's a good thing he did, because you and I will see him in heaven. Because about a year or two later, he died and he was gone. I read this book that I got from the public library, and you know how it started? It's a book about the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving, and it started with billions of years ago, when the earth was formed, a huge rock was created, and the glaciers in the ice age moved that rock down to Cape Cod, where the pilgrims eventually landed. That's how the book started. You got to be kidding me. Have we forgotten what Thanksgiving is all about? Society is trying to remove the thoughts of God to even be thankful unto Him. Listen, we're to be thankful to God. We're to be thankful to Christ. We're to be thankful through Christ. We're to be thankful in the name of Christ. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. It's to be through Christ. He writes, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And that's in Romans. Hebrews 13, the author says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So not only is it to Christ, through Christ, it's in the name of Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. So it's all the time in the name of Christ, to Christ, through Christ, for all things. All the time, always, all things. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Listen, I could go on. It's time for me to close. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know that is a difficult command. I know that is a difficult command to go to the intersection where your father was killed in an automobile accident and give thanks. I know it's a difficult command to go somewhere where your loved one is laying in a grave and give thanks. It would be like a Jewish person going to Auschwitz and giving thanks. It would be like you have been diagnosed with cancer and you go back to the treatment center and you give thanks. I know. You say that's unnatural. I know it's unnatural. It's supernatural. But that is what we've been commanded to do. That is what we're expected to do. That is what the world does not want us to do, but desperately needs to see. People that are thankful. Psalm 100, very quickly. Psalm 100. Because Psalm 100 can be broken down and diagrammed with two words. How and why. How and why. How do I give thanksgiving unto the Lord? Make a joyful noise. How do I give thanksgiving unto the Lord? Serve the Lord with gladness. How do I give thanks unto the Lord? Doc, what's the last word in verse number 2? Singing. Sing like you mean it. Do we sing like we mean it, or do we sing like just because we have to? How do I do it? Why? Know ye that the Lord is God. He is God. He hath made us. Before you were born, he formed you in your mother's womb. He made us. We've not made ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. Okay, how do I praise God? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Listen, I love pie. Don't get me wrong. But I'm looking forward to hearing the praise of the fruit of your lips. I'm looking forward to hearing what God has done in your life, how he has changed members of your family, how he has provided. We have so much to be thankful for. So let's get prepared for pie and praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord,